Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, baby, it's go time. No, it's show time. No, it's NUC, NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Showtime here on this Saturday, April the 16th, 2016. We're just 12 days away from the NFL Draft. It's a good time of the year. It's Christmas over here, in fact. NFL Draft is our religion. If it's your religion, too, get on board, NFLDraftBible.com. Use my promo code DRAFT2016 to get your free 30-day trial. Check this out. We're all about bringing you the names you need to know. We've been doing it since 2002. So we appreciate all the love and support out there from our disciples. Of course, we have another great guest for you, and he'll be joining us shortly. But first, I do want to let you know that NFL Draft Bible has partnered up with the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium. This year, or I should say the 2017 event, will be held January 7th through the 11th. There will be several days of practices. There's also a veteran combine. Of course, there's the symposium part of the program where, you know, players get an education about life off the field, financial advising, and things of that nature, social media education, which you would think would be more prominent, but welcome to the new world media. So we'll talk about more with our guest today, Toledo defensive back Cheatham Norlis. 66 tackles this past season, 3.5 for loss, 3 interceptions, team captain, versatile guy here. He's played inside, outside, corner, slot, safety, and we'll welcome him into the show in just a minute. But I do want to let everybody know that we are taking player nominations for the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, as I mentioned, January 7th through the 11th in Bedford, Texas. Log on to cgsstar.com, cgsallstar.com, and you can nominate players for the 2017 Showcase and Symposium. I'll get notified and review it, and hopefully we'll be publishing that list following the NFL Draft. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter as well, at CGS All-Star. They're now syndicating all of our interviews, including this one with Cheatham Norlis, cornerback from Toledo. He joins us right now. Welcome into the show. Cheatham, how are you doing today?
So I'm going well. Thank you, Frank.
So let's, first off, before we dig into your game and get the 411 on yourself. I mean, let's start off with the name Cheatham. That's not a very common name. How does it, originate? How did your parents come up with that?
It's actually my great-grandmother's maiden name, so they decided to let me have it as a first name.
So you got two last names?
No, it's my great-grandmother's maiden name, and my first name is Cheatham Norlis, and her last name was Cheatham.
Right. So, yeah, two last names. I'm just, trying to do a play on words. But it's all good, my man.
No.
We appreciate you taking some time. And, we want to kind of tell your story and get your name out there to the masses because, we believe you're a guy on the NFL radar that, people need to know about. And I was just talking about your versatility. You've played a lot of different positions, cornerback. You've played inside, outside, slot corner, even some safety. How do you perceive yourself here at the next level? Have you been able to gather any feedback in terms of how NFL teams are viewing you at the next level? I mean, what's your ideal fit? What's the situation that you think kind of best suits your playing style?
Like you said, I'm pretty much versatile. I mean, I try to fit in wherever I can. It doesn't matter exactly for me which team, but as far as schemes for the team, wherever I fit in best, because like you said, I play corner, nickel, like inside and out, and I play some safety. So I think my versatility helped me on the next level in general. But I'm willing to do whatever they need me to adjust, so that's going to get bigger, faster. I mean, I naturally want to do all of that, but learning, going through this process. So I haven't heard too many different things about other teams because, like you said, I can switch around. So it's whatever is necessary at the moment.
Yeah, you talk about the NFL draft process. It can be long. It can be tedious. It could be a waiting game, which is kind of where we're at now, because you spend literally months training leading up to that pro day workout. Then you do your pro day workout, and you know, after it's done, you never have to run a 40-yard dash ever again. But now here we are, kind of 2 weeks to go, waiting around. I mean, how was the draft process for you overall? What was the training like? And, you know, let's start off with that, and then we'll talk a little bit about the pro day results. But, I mean, how was the training process for you? Because I know it can be a long process, and it's not your typical, you know, type of football training that you're used to. It's kind of really training for a specific type of drills. Talk about that.
Yeah, like you said, it's just real intense. It takes a lot of time, patience, and I think mental and not only physical ability to get through. Because I mean, I try to treat it as if it was a winter workout, winter time for college, because all we did was we just trained. We didn't do too much of football, but we just trained and worked out and built on, like, certain, I wouldn't say events, but we just tried to build all around as players. But all we do, we did all that for three months until for one day. And basically, like you said, we don't do anything else unless you get individual workouts with teams. But all that time building up to the end, it took a lot of time, patience, and then I think I had a lot of help. I had a lot of help from different people, mainly my family and loved ones, and former players that have been through this process to help me learn so how I can handle it better. And I think I've done a good job so far. And like you said, going up to the results, I think I was pretty happy with them. Everybody wants to do better, feel like they can, but I think I would improve for myself in general. But I think it helped me a lot in building up my stock and everything like that. So I'm just looking forward to, like I said, continue being patient and waiting on the opportunity.
And, you know, I don't know if you got any results numbers-wise in the 40-yard dash, but did you get any numbers? And also, let's get an official height and weight, if we can, on you.
Yeah, I think I was listed either 5'11 or 6 foot, 192. And then I met my 40 range from 4'4 to 4'6, so I think they said it was about a 4'5, so they said 4'5 was like the official or something.
Okay, so pretty good size-speed ratio, definitely along the lines of what NFL teams are looking for now. This past season, you guys had a tremendous season. In fact, you guys finished 10-2 overall, big-time win over SEC opponent Arkansas early in the season, and ended the year with a bang over, you know, those Temple Owls,
Temple,
which was a feisty team, and you guys kind of took care of business with them and handled your business. Who was the toughest opponent for you guys personally throughout the season? You guys managed 10 victories on the year, and not an easy schedule there.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like our schedule this year, every year since I've been at Toledo, it's a winning program, and I feel like everybody coming in, nobody's going to take us lightly to an extent, but all the teams we played against teams, but the only reason I would say Northern Illinois is because I hadn't beat them my 4 years in college, so they always keep us basically from going to the MAC championship. But, I mean, some of that is on us, but they're a good team as a whole. I wouldn't, if we're not talking about individual players, but Northern Illinois is a great team. I don't know how they continue to be great, but we're trying to get to that level, and they always end up with a MAC championship, if not Bowling Green, but we beat them, so that's a little different. But, I mean, I felt like we played against a lot of different teams that were very high-caliber teams, like you said, Temple and SEC opponent Arkansas. Iowa State was a good team, but I feel like our schedule was pretty balanced, and it helped us out, and going 10-2 is a great accomplishment.
Oh, no doubt about it. And it's interesting. It's not the SEC team that you have trouble with. It's Northern Illinois. And definitely a lot of good opponents throughout your career. We're talking to Cheatham Norlis here, Toledo defensive back, cornerback. And, you know, you mentioned the Arkansas game where Brandon Allen is a guy, you know, a lot of people feel like he could be an eventual starter down the road, but he's expected to be selected here in the upcoming draft in the middle of the rounds. You know, was that the toughest quarterback you guys faced, and how do you prepare for a guy like that?
Like I said, we don't take no team lightly at Toledo, so we go in with the same mindset that we gotta study and study, be in the film room and practicing. Well, that's where we started at. Everything starts off the field, I guess you can say, or outside before the game, before he gets to the game. But preparing for him, he, like you said, is a great player. I think they were ranked top 15 or so when we were about to play him. But he's a great player. Like, he's very versatile. And he led his team, I feel like, versus us, to keep him in it, like, throughout the game. But we overcame some of those obstacles and adversity. But he's a great player. He can, like you said, he can throw, he can move, he's pretty mobile. I think he's a smart guy, great decision-maker. And he had the players around him to help him be better. So that worked in his favor also.
Now, you talked about the success of the Toledo football program since you've been there. 10 wins this past season, 9 wins the year before, 7 wins before that. But there, it seems like you keep escalating a little bit more wins each and every single season. Now, you know, being a team captain, being a senior leader, you know, what is the legacy that this senior class kind of is going to leave on this team? And talk about, you know, being a team captain and your leadership skills. Are you a guy that'll get in somebody's face? Will you pull them over to the side and talk to them one-on-one? Do you lead by example? Give us a little bit of insight of what you're like inside the locker room.
For me, I just feel like it depends on the moment. I'm not going to say it's not that I'm inconsistent with leadership, but I feel like it calls for different actions for different scenarios as far as getting in somebody's face. Not everybody reacts the same. I've come to learn from the past and just in general and other people I watch try to be a leader. But majority of the time, I would say I'm more lead by example because I feel like you can't get on other players if you're not doing your part. So I try to start, it's not being selfish, I try to start with myself before I lead on to other people. But as sometimes I had to get in other players' face to let them know like what we're trying to do and accomplish. And then there's times where I have to be that rah-rah guy to an extent and have pride in my group because I feel like my last year there, my couple years there, and University of Toledo, they used to say how we had to take pride in defense and make sure it lives here. That's what we always said. But I feel like we made a mark for Toledo defense to be well known, and I took a lot of pride in not only the whole defense but my position group in general, which was the DBs. So I took a lot of pride in what we did and made sure everybody knew that we was around and on the field and there to be playmakers and do our best.
Now, you know, I've caught Toledo a couple times throughout the season, but I'm just curious, did you guys play the same kind of scheme every year throughout your career, or did you guys switch it up a little bit? Talk a little bit about what kind of defensive scheme you guys played, not just this year, but if you played different schemes in previous years, you know, enlighten us and give us some insight there.
Throughout my years there, we switched it up. I have two different corner coaches, but like I said, I play safety and nickel too. So, but we've had three defensive coordinators since I've been there. So we had to switch it up. Too hard of adjustment. I feel like as the years went on, we got better. Not taking anything away from the other coaches, but I enjoyed this past defense. I mean, maybe it's because of my senior year, but I feel like we had a lot. Now I wouldn't say a lot more to offer, but we were very versatile. Like I said, and had the players to do certain things that we wanted to do. And that was like run a lot of man, nickel, dime. But we ran a lot of quarters, which is basically man for us to an extent. But the defense in general, like scheme, the terminology, I liked it. It was better for me to pick up on. And I think a lot of our team enjoyed it. And I think that's why we were pretty much successful because they put us in the best position to make plays.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about the MAC is – you know, if you pay attention, there's a lot of games that are like shootouts. It's a lot of high scoring. And I see that, you know, the defense, you guys were able to hold teams relatively low. I mean, there was the one game, the shootout against UMass, 51-35. But taking that game out of the equation, you guys pretty much held every opponent under 30 points, which is not easy to do. Is that something you guys took pride on as a defensive unit? I mean, what was the reason for having a stout defense in such a high-scoring league? And even the Boca Raton Bowl, I mean, you guys held Temple to 17 points, kind of dominated that game too.
Yeah, like I said, though, me being a leader and, like I said, the coaches there, I think, mainly I would say the seniors, but the team and coaches, like how we gel together, I would say it played a major part because there's some different things that go on, like with teams that might not make them be successful, but I felt like there was more on the field and to make those plays, like you said, the coaches put us in a position to be great. But I said we take a lot of pride definitely in our defense because, like I said, in the past they will always say, oh, still has a great offense, but it wasn't much talk about our defense. And I felt like we had the players to do it, but we just didn't go out there sometime and prove that. But this past year, me being a senior and going out for my last year, I wanted to make sure that the Toledo defense was well known. And I think that's what we did. And that we took a lot of pride because people still didn't want to give us credit. But I think that was an approach that I made sure we all had was to continue to play like we got something to prove and never let up because, I mean, you never know what can happen.
And, you know, let's not – I mean, listen, there's some playmakers in this MAC conference. I'm just thinking about you are going up against the number one guy every week, and, you know, I'm taking a look at guys in your conference such as Jordan Williams, Tajay Sharp, Roger Lewis, Robbie Anderson. Even there's a kid at Central Michigan. His name is slipping my mind. I'm just curious, is there any one receiver – that kind of stuck out to you, that really brought it and was like really just a fierce competition? Anybody stand out to you? And it doesn't have to just be this season, maybe throughout your whole collegiate career. Any one receiver that just kind of stands out to you? Looks like we just lost Gina. The answer I wanted to get is C, because so many versatile guys. Hopefully he can call back in and we'll get him back on board. But you talk about the different type of receivers he matched up. In Ball State, Jordan Williams, a big-bodied, possession-type wide receiver, you know, 230-pound, big wide frame, 6'3" type of possession wideout. Then you go to, you know, Tajay Sharp, who's a guy that kind of stretches the field, is a playmaker. And then you talk about a guy like Robbie Anderson, who's just a tall, lanky guy, but also very quick, very fast. We had a chance to see Robbie Anderson at the Temple Pro Day, and you know, he ran in the sub-4.4 range. Some people had him below the 4.4 range, and he checks in at about 6'2", 6'3". And then Roger Lewis at Bowling Green, a lot of people were surprised that the sophomore had decided to declare early. But, I mean, Roger Lewis can just really blow the top off of the defense. And we got Cheatham back in on the show, and we're joining him back in. Live radio, folks, it happens. But welcome back into the show, Cheatham. We lost you right before we got your answer, so I was just curious. I was going through the list of receivers that you went up against, and I'm just curious to find out, you know, who the one guy in your career kind of stuck out to you and really brought it.
For me, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of people. I feel like I take everybody the same. Like, I don't let up on nobody because I know any time the ball can become, especially at my position. But I played a lot of against a lot of different type of receivers, and I feel like sometimes this scheme might not have been best for them, but our defensive scheme, I feel like, contained everybody we played. But like you said, every single player that you mentioned, I can go through and say what they did or how good they were outside looking in. But like you said, we held pretty much most offenses to a limit. So I wouldn't say, like, who was the best, but because they're all great players, I can't say who was better. It's just certain things that I take away from the game or that I paid attention to. But Robbie Anderson, I got a chance to meet him and watch him. Real good player, like you said, doing what he's doing. I think he stepped up his game a lot, especially throughout this draft process and his stock. And then Roger Lewis, like you say, is more of a speed guy, blazer, try to outrun. But, I mean, we did what we best for that. And then another couple of great players. Willie Snead in the past for Ball State was a real good player. He's in the NFL, one of the number one guys for the Saints.
Yeah.
And then other guy from Ball State, Williams, like you said, bigger body. Different type of game, but we let up one. I let up one on him, but no excuse for it. But there's so many different players I feel great. And then another guy I can't forget about was the guy from Arkansas. He didn't play the first half, number one, I forgot, and number four. They both good players. They all good players, but Like I said, I took everybody the same. I try to look at them as all being superstars and all great players, and I like the competition. So everybody has a great player, I feel like, in the receiving corps that can make plays and be outstanding.
Yeah. McKelly McKay, he started off at Arkansas, finished at Cincinnati. But, you know, Robbie Anderson, he's interesting because, you know, if you're friendly with Tim Cheatham, he might be calling you soon. I spoke to him at his pro day, and there were some teams looking at him, ironically enough, at cornerback. So he might be calling you up for some pointers. we're talking to Cheatham Norlis, cornerback, Toledo, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, wrapping it up, and he's been doing a wonderful job breaking it down between the lines. Now it's time to go outside the lines, get to know him a little bit off the field. Cheatham, you know, what's something that NFL teams or the casual Toledo Rocket fan might not know about you? What's something that folks just don't know?
Something they wouldn't know. It's not too much I think or they wouldn't know. I'm simple. I mean, my main thing is just more a family guy. I don't like doing too much. I mean, I enjoy being around my lovers. Outside of football, I just mainly like being with my family. So that's the only thing that really truly matters to me. No, I'm just grabbing my bag out of it.
Okay, very good. Fair enough. How about, you know, what's some of the music you're listening to? What gets you hyped, whether it's pregame or working out? What's in the music rotation right now?
It depends. I'm pretty versatile. I think in that category, so I listen to rap. I don't have a specific CD or nothing like that. I even listen to slow music, day of games, or slower music. But I just put my iPad on shuffle and just let it go, because that's all music I chose. So I just let it play.
All right, fair enough. And you know, you spent, you know, a good significant part of your time in Toledo. I'm just curious, you know, driving across the country, going to the combine. I drive through Ohio. If I get a chance to stop in Toledo, Ohio, where's the best place for me to go eat? Where should I go check out some grub and get some really good stuff?
Oh, food. I would definitely say go to Gino's Pizza. I mean, that's probably not the best for athletes, what you said, but if I could do it, I would say get Gino's Pizza. Make sure you get that. Or JoJo's.
Okay, but you got to understand now, I'm coming over here from Jersey. We got the best pizza pie in the world.
I'm still willing to put up Gino's.
All right, very good. Two quick last questions for you. You know, we like to get an idea of who we should, you know, keep a lookout for next season. We talked about the success of the Toledo football program. Looks like they're going to continue to have some success. Who are some players that should be on our radar, a guy or two that we should really look out for next season?
I would definitely say for defense, I would say Jalen Coleman, and definitely our safety, real great player. His name is DeJuan, so just gotta look up him. Just look up DeJuan. That's DeJuan Trouble. We call him Trouble for a reason.
I'm writing it down as we speak. So I appreciate the hat tip on that. And then last one for you. We always get everybody out of here with this last final question. But you know, if I'm an NFL team, I want you to tell me why I should draft Cheatham Norlis.
Why you should draft Cheatham Norlis? Because I'm gonna do whatever it is. I'm not gonna complain about it. There's nothing I wouldn't do to help the team and help make the team be successful. And I'm a pretty versatile player. I think I bring speed, power, size, and just whatever you need to make me adjust. And I think I can help some team in some way, no matter what it is.
All right, well, listen, I really appreciate you taking some time today and giving us the whole story about yourself, because you're somebody that NFL teams really need to dig into here, and we're 12 days away, so please do keep us posted on any updates, and really look forward to chatting with you. Hopefully once you get linked up with the NFL team at the next level, maybe we can have you on and talk about it and follow up with you, Cheatham.
All right. Make sure you get DeJuan Rodgers, Jalen Coleman, Jordan Martin, Trayvon Mathis. Make sure you – the whole Toledo defense. Make sure you look them up. And also our running backs. There's so many people I can't name, so.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much. That's Keaton Norlis, cornerback, Toledo, and, you know, making me put some ink to paper. I always love getting the scoop on next year's prospects, but we got to get through this year's draft. And Keaton is a guy, like I said, 66 tackles, 3.5 for loss, 3 interceptions, team captain, versatile guy, corner, slot, safety, cover, can do it all. And that's what we do here at the NFL Draft. Bob, we're bringing you the names you need to know first since 2002. We'll keep you updated with Keaton and his destination at the next level as soon as we get an update during the draft weekend. Of course, we'll be out in Chicago all weekend long, not just covering the draft, but covering the post-draft undrafted free agent frenzy and everything, wall-to-wall coverage all week long. So check us out, NFLDraftBible.com. Use my promo code DRAFT2016. Get on board with that. Get your 30-day free trial. Of course, College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium now syndicating our interviews on the website, cgsallstar.com, cgsallstar.com. Of course, you can nominate players now for the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, January 7th through 11th in Bedford, Texas. Really looking forward to being a part of that, and we'll have our watch list following the draft. So if you want to nominate a player, of course, Keaton just gave us a bunch of guys to keep a lookout for on Toledo, so we'll do our homework on those guys. And anybody else you nominate, I'll get notified and review that information. So please do feel free to log on cgsallstar.com for that. Of course, Twitter at cgsallstar. They're also doing a great job putting all our interviews out there. Of course, NFL Draft Bibles on Twitter too, keeping you up to date. I was your host, Rick Saratella, RIC, and the place to be, holding it down. We're coming up. If you're tuned in live right now, in 2 minutes, we're going to have our skill position draft preview show over on blogtalkradio.com/NUC Draft Bible. I'll be breaking it down with Chris Shanafelt. We'll be going through all the position, wide receiver, tight end, running back, fullback, all the skill position players. So stay tuned for that. Coming right back at you in 2 minutes. Woo! Can't stop, won't stop.